Revelation 21. We had wrapped up 20 last week for this study and got a little bit into 21, and we'll look at 21 by the grace of God tonight a little bit more. And it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Praise God. "For the former things are passed away." And you know, it's not the physical pain that always is the problem. We have to deal with that stuff, and it's kind of, as much as we don't like it, we can kind of get used to that. It's the other scars. Brother Terry and I were talking about that Sunday. You know, we're just a damaged people. We've suffered a lot of loss. We've suffered a lot of heartache. A lot of loved ones went on before us, some in heaven and some we're not sure about. But even though they're in heaven, that's still a scar that never heals this side of heaven. It's a wound that's permanent because of sin this side of heaven. The only thing that's going to fix that's a rapture. Amen. We can see our Lord and Savior again face to face one day and be like He is finally. And, you know, see our loved ones. I'm looking forward. There's a whole list of people I'd like to see. And we can go down the list of the Old Testament saints and everything. That's going to be exciting, you know. Daniel. Hey, Daniel, tell me about the lion's den. Tell me how that worked. How'd that happen? You know, tell me about that night when nobody was there but you and the Lord and the lions. Tell me what, you know, and Jonah. Well, Jonah, tell me what happened. Tell me about what was it like, sucking on that seaweed for 3 days down there. I mean, tell me what it was like. What was it like when he spit you out on dry ground and you took off and went to Nineveh? What did it feel like when you preached in Nineveh? Well, could you imagine the questions we're going to want to ask when we get there? And David. Boy, David, how did you keep going? I mean, David's family was a nightmare, and David hung in there, and David caused some problems for himself and suffered loss, but he kept going, and he ended up still, God saying he was a man after his own heart. Isn't that something? And then, Samson, what in the world were you thinking? I mean, she practically told you she was after you. She was going to wipe you out. She was trying to figure out how to tell the Philistines to whoop you, and Samson. I mean, come on now, brother. You say, well, Samson won't be there. No, he's in the Hall of Fame of faith in Hebrews 11. I've heard that stuff before about, you know, certain people can't get there. No, well, Samson pulled the house down on himself, and he's in the Hall of Fame of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, amen. So praise God. I got an uncle I'm looking forward to seeing that went that similar way. He wasn't doing it for the Lord, but he left that way, and I'm looking forward to seeing him and his best friend. I'm looking forward to seeing him. If they trusted Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, they're there. Amen. And I'm not talking just believe that Jesus existed. I mean, they realized they were a sinner and they called on Him. They're there. That's it. And there ain't nobody ever going to talk me out of that. Matter of fact, everybody's going to believe that one day. Amen. Unfortunately, it'll be too late for some folks. But I got a lot of folks I'm looking forward to seeing there. Amen. Some folks I'm looking forward to see if they're there, because I'm worried now. Man, I hope they're there. Amen. Some relatives even. I hope they're there. Some that I'd be very, very, very shocked if they weren't. Amen. And others that they were just ready to go and waiting to meet the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that pain and that sorrow, that'll all be gone. That'll all be gone. Isn't it funny how you think back on things and something similar happens, and like the event that your scar from 15, 20 years ago was like yesterday now? Or like an hour ago. It's just strange. But that's all going to go away. No more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Praise God, they're God's words. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh, that's not church age, right? He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I think we'll stop there for right now. We'll see if we'll get back to that verse or not. But I want to talk about a few things as we go back through here again. And we talked about before, this Genesis 1:1, 1:2 thing. We won't get too far into that. But the new heaven and the new earth are here in verse number 1 of chapter 21, because the first heaven and the first earth, every word of God is pure, every word of God is important. And if the first heaven and first earth are passing away in the future, there only could have been one heaven, one earth to start with, you know what I mean? There were heavens, I understand that, you know, where the birds fly, where the stars are, and where God is, I understand that. But the heaven of heavens, God's abode, that place is going to be new too, because it's been sinned in by the devil, the anointed cherub that covered. And the earth, the first earth, by the way, is going to pass away because it's cursed. And it's going to, we're going to get a new one, amen? It's going to be a new one. But you look on down through this verse and it says, and there was no more sea. Now, that's not talking about the Mediterranean Sea or the Black Sea or the Indian Ocean or anything like that. That's talking about water up in the universe. That's talking about water that's above us. And God separated the firmament. You know, he separated things out. You can talk about the different heavens and different layers. And I believe there's another layer of water that was up there that's not there anymore, that was between us and the sun, that left at the flood. It come down because it didn't rain before the flood. Because this place had that water that was like a canopy. And what happened was the water was limited going up and it would fall back down. The dew that we get every day, that God feeds the rabbits with, that God feeds the squirrel with, that God takes care of our plants with, that dew. It was like a greenhouse. That thing would just, the water would recirculate like that. And then that water dumped out on the earth and flooded the earth. So that part's gone. But there's another layer. There's another sea up there he's talking about. And no more sea. If there's no more heaven, no more earth, there's no more sea, because that old heaven and old earth, that was a separation of the two. Well, things are going to be different the second time around. They're even going to be, they're going to be the way they were intended to, but better. Amen. And better, because when God says replenish, he's going to do it. He's going to put what he wants in. He's not going to let man, there ain't going to be no devil. We already read, he's gone. The beast, the false prophet, lake of fire. The devil, lake of fire. No more devil. So it's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and no more man and the devil messing it up. But that sea is gone. It says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So when it says coming down, it doesn't say it comes down to the new earth. I don't believe it comes down to the new earth. To me, it looks like it comes down and suspended somewhere around the earth. I don't know how God's going to do it. I can't explain everything. I'm not God. But that new Jerusalem is going to be a separate issue, what it looks like right here, what it looks like to me. And it also, if we look at this verse 4, this is an important verse also. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now look, God is wiping away tears later. I believe there are tears in heaven. Probably be tears of joy when we get there. Overwhelming. When you're overwhelmed with joy or sorrow, those things come out. And we'll probably be overwhelmed with joy and sorrow at the same time. Amen. Sorrow for the way we live, lived after being saved, and joy for getting the scene. But the folks there at the great white throne of judgment, I believe there are going to be tears there when people are cast in the lake of fire forever. But God's going to wipe all that stuff away. Amen. But see, the judgment won't be perverted anymore. Nobody will be wrong on judgment up there. Even the people that are guilty and being cast into a lake of fire because they didn't trust Christ and they didn't do what God said to do, they're going to be judging themselves right. Guilty. Amen. But it's going to be too late to throw themselves on the mercy of the court. Now is the time to judge yourself guilty and throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Because right now is the time we can do that. Amen. But there will be tears up there, according to this book. He wipes them all away. No more death, no more sorrow. Praise God, no more crying. Neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. All things new. Amen. So here we get into this. I wonder if Fifi and Foofy and Fluffy and Scratchy and Itchy and Barky and Bitey will be in heaven. No. And you won't care. Amen. You won't care. So are there horses in heaven? Not old horses. We just read all, right? So we're going to be made new because of Jesus Christ, right? There are going to be new horses up there. I don't know, maybe the ones we come back and battle with the Lord on, maybe they'll go back up there. Maybe we'll leave them and shoot back out here like Superman again. I don't know. But God's not going to go down to the Amish and say, hey, can I borrow some of your horses to take to heaven? Amen? He's going to go, horses. Amen? Saddle. What kind of saddle you want? Huh? I don't care. I got a mansion, Lord. I can care less. I'll ride that thing bareback. You just give me the horse. Amen. I'm ready to go. Amen. For the first time in my life, I could really be like Roy Rogers and them guys, man. For the first time in my life, John Wayne would look at me and go, I want to be like that guy. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope he's up there, by the way, John Wayne. But I won't be as interested in talking to him as I am Daniel, though. But I'll just hope he made it. Hope he trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. But all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. What's that mean, true and faithful? True, it ain't a lie. Faithful, if God says it, it will happen. And we said it before, if God says it, it's already happened. God created time and he made time at the beginning. Remember, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It's not going to be like now. We're not going to be looking at a clock. We're not going to be punching time clocks. We're going to be wondering if Walmart, praise God, Walmart's open. We're going to be there. Amen? So he is faithful. If he says it, he's telling us. He's not saying that so he can talk himself into believing he's going to do it. He's saying that so you and I can realize what this book says is true and it will happen. Amen? And if you can't look outside right now, you know when the devil comes in and starts messing with your scram? I don't know about you, guys. I got like six neurons that are functioning, one and a half on one cylinder maybe. But sometimes in the world is attacking all of them. You ever feel like that? It's like, what's going on? And the devil's like, ah. And he'll start playing around in your head. If you let him play there long enough, he'll mess your heart up. But if you can look around and see what's going on, praise the Lord. I mean, all it's doing is verifying to everybody that you've been talking to for the last 20 or 30 years that what you've been telling them is the truth. And if they can't see it, you know what God's doing? In my opinion, he's giving mercy to this world by letting this stuff happen to wake people up. Because he would rather somebody be in ICU for 6 months and get saved than be in a lake of fire forever. Amen? And he'd rather see this world just shaken apart where everybody wasn't trusting in their Maserati and their gold and their silver and their precious stones down here, and they started trusting him again instead of hanging on the world and getting burning up in the lake of fire later. I think God's just showing his mercy by allowing this thing. And if you look at what happened in Job, I'm telling you, Job is the book that the key of understanding what's going on in life. It really is. Because the devil's attacking and God's sitting back going, yeah, so what? That's all you got? Let me show you what I'm going to do with that. Remember what Joseph said? The Lord meant it for good. The Lord sent him before to preserve life. So the Lord's just allowing the devil to do what he wants to do, and the devil thinks he's so much smarter than God. And look, I'm not trying to challenge the devil. He's smarter than I'll ever be. Well, until I get to heaven, amen? Then he's lost, and he won't be there, but I'll finally be like Christ. But he thinks he's so much smarter and so much ahead of God. His pride has got him so welled up, and he's doing this, and he's doing that, and he's controlling Putin, and he's controlling Biden, and he's controlling Trump, and whenever he moves his pieces around on the board, and man's going, oh, both sides, right? Red, blue, green, yellow, whatever. Oh, everybody's freaking out, and God's going, really? You read my book? Because you get to Revelation, you realize that no matter what the devil does, God won. Hey, look, God doesn't, it's not God wins, God won. And he won victory over death, hell, and the grave when he rose from the grave. But he already won in eternity. See, the devil's kind of like we are. He's stuck in time. But he's going to be stuck in a lake of fire forever. And God's going to go... I can't remember, is it in Isaiah where they looked upon him? I can't remember exactly where it was. They looked on him and said, that's the one that caused all the trouble? Once you see God, then you look at the devil, they're going to go, that guy? That's the one that caused all the problems? You've got to be kidding me. Because we really don't have an idea how big our God is. If it was just you and the devil, you'd be done. Or me and the devil, I'd be done. But God's not sweating the devil at all. All he's wanting to do is use us to glorify himself. Amen? And he does it a lot of different ways. Right? I mean, my heart breaks for Brother Mike and Sister Debbie. And that, you know, 5 years. But, you know, he uses the people he knows he can use and allows things to happen that he knows he can get glory out of. And you know, people going through different things. I've seen a lot of heartache and heartbreak everywhere. But to God, it's an opportunity. You know, to us, it's another battle scar, another wound that'll only be healed by the rapture. But God's not worried. He's not chewing his fingernails off trying to figure out what he's going to, you know, his next move against the devil. The devil's just trying to figure out, how can I stop what God's already done? He knows it's over. I mean, you're telling me you and I can sit here and read this book and what it says and the devil can't figure it out? You think he don't know he's going to be cast in a lake of fire forever with the beast and the false prophet that had already been there for 1,000 years? And he's just sitting there and saying, oh, I challenge your word. I'm so proud. I'm such a good this, that, I'm my own God. I can outdo your word. No. He's doomed. And that guy tracked today, you know, and he's got his own ideas. So's the devil. But what saith the scripture? You know, what's God say? Doesn't matter what man's opinion is. And look, I'll take it. When there's common ground, I'll meet him on that ground. And I told him, I said, look, I don't blame you. I wouldn't go to most churches either. Most churches are religion. And most religion is about control and money. And most of the time, all they want to do is keep you guessing about everything and draw everything they can draw out of you and control you on their way to hell. I said, I agree. I wouldn't want to go to church either. I said, matter of fact, you don't have to go to church. I pastor a church, and I'm telling you, you don't have to go to church. But you have to go to Jesus Christ, and you have to call on him as a sinner, and you have to trust him to save you. I said, I'm not preaching against our church. I'm just telling you, you don't have to go into church one time. I guarantee you there were apostles that never walked into a building full of 50 people, and they're in heaven. They ate at houses. They stopped and had church service in houses. There were disciples that probably never went into a building over 20 or 30 people. Peter never went into a church building. He may have a couple times, synagogue, stuff like that, but he preached out in the open. 3,000 people get saved. It's not all about church. But once you're saved, it should be. Amen? It should be about the Word of God. And what's the Word of God say? Forsake not the assembling themselves together. So I'm not going to sit there and debate with a lost man about whether or not he ought to be in church. You know, let God deal with that. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I mean, me and that guy and the Lord and the devil are there, and there's a battle going on. So how much of the battle am I supposed to fight, and how much am I supposed to let God fight? I'm supposed to let him fight most of it. All I'm supposed to do is, all right, Lord, help me. Amen. You know that guy, I guarantee you, after I thought about that, I thought, praise the Lord. You know what? I guarantee you that guy probably never had a pastor tell him, don't go to church. You don't have to go to church. I started thinking about it. You know what these new churches that don't preach the truth, you know what they're doing? Oh, man, you got to come to our concert. You got to come to our, man, I'll tell you what, we got the best coffee. Man, we got donuts. We got booze. You know, Jesus drank donuts and ate wine. Amen. Whatever. I said that backwards intentionally. But anyway, you know, that's what they do. They entice you to come in by all this worldly stuff. Man, you wouldn't believe, man, we had a time. And they don't mention a Bible, don't mention Jesus Christ. I got thinking about that. I wouldn't want to go to church either. I mean, good night. I could have just as much fun at the bar. If that's what their church is going to be. and I don't want to go there. I'm saved. Amen? But think about it. You say, well, we only have 20 or 30 people. You know? Well, they got 600 down there drinking and carousing and whoremongering and listening to rock music and just having a good time. The Lord's outside the door. He ain't even outside that door. He done left. Amen? He'd been uninvited. Think about it. So I go, hey, you don't have to go to church. I find myself saying that a lot. You don't have to go to church. You need to get saved. I like people coming to church. I thank God for everybody's here every time the doors are open. Well, every once in a while there's a challenger. But there's been a couple, but they didn't stay long. But, you know, they don't believe anything we believe, and they want to change everything so they can be happy. But, you know, every once in a while you run into that. But I thank God for people that show up at church, especially our church family. Amen. What a blessing. But people need to get saved. And a guy don't have to be in a church building to get saved. I hope and pray that he thinks about that all night. And that guy agreed with me. I don't have to go to church. But he said, I do have to go to Jesus Christ. I hope he reads that track. You know, he did me that track. Funny to watch people. I was telling my wife this earlier. It's funny to watch people what they do at the tracks and you hand them. I hand them to his son. His son's like, he takes it, but he holds it way out here. But he listens. Dad takes it like this, and he folds it up, and he does this. And the whole time he's talking to me, he's doing this, which to me means I don't want to hear this. And then he started saying, basically, he didn't want to hear it. But it's funny to watch people. But you know what I hope? I hope the Lord says, you better open that up and see what that says. You know, tonight, when he's not showing off in front of his boy, when his ego's at home going, hey, I got problems, or maybe a week or a month later when the wheels are coming off the bus and he got nowhere to turn, and he doesn't want to go to church because the church is full of hypocrites. Of course, Walmart's full of hypocrites, but he'll go right down there and buy his booze, you know, all that stuff. But I hope and pray they open that up and he'll read that and he'll just call out to Jesus Christ. And if he never goes to church and he's called out to the trust of Christ, he's still going to heaven. Amen. The other side of that coin, people all over places, all over the world calling themselves church on their way to hell. Think about it. What's more important, going to heaven or going to church? Going to heaven. Now, after you're going to heaven, should be church. Amen. Man, I hope that guy gets saved. These words are true and faithful, he said. He said, and to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Before I deal with this verse, I want to look at one thing real quick. I want to jump back to verse number 1. Talked about a new heaven and a new earth. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 65, Isaiah 65, give you a minute to turn there. Remember we talked about Isaiah before and we said there's 66 books in the Bible and there's 66 chapters in Isaiah. Isaiah is like a small type of a Bible. And the same amount of Old Testament books are the same amount of Isaiah's books that deal with the Old Testament. And then there's a switch to a New Testament type setting and theme and the same amount of New Testament books in the New Testament. And they end similarly. Look at what happens in Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. See that? Now look at Isaiah 66. Figure out which verse this is here. Ah, there's a lot going on in this. Let's deal with this. Verse 21. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. So he's looking at a millennial setting, talking about the Jews. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make. See how it ends? It ends with a new heaven, talking about a new heaven and a new earth. Shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain. You know what he's telling Israel? Your seed and that name Israel is forever. Just like the new heaven and new earth are going to be forever. So Isaiah ends the same way Revelation ends. Start talking about a new heaven and new earth, new things. So there you go. God's not through with Israel. We just seen it in Isaiah 65 and 66, especially in 66. But it's all over the Bible. It's not just Romans chapter 11. I want you to know, you know, it's all over. Zechariah, Isaiah, Ezekiel. God's not through with Israel. So jump back up here to verse number... six. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now, it says freely. Open your Bible. Turn over to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I heard another preacher bring this up before, and I did not think about this before. It is really interesting. In Genesis chapter 2, let's look at 16 and 17. You know, he puts Adam in the garden, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Right? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Every tree of the garden he could freely eat. The tree of life was in that garden. Isn't that funny? Think about this. He could freely eat of every tree in that garden. It gives me chills thinking about what happened in that garden. It's almost like what happens when you're witnessing somebody. They choose which tree they want. I mean, that tree of life is the tree of death on Calvary. They got to pick one, right? But they could eat freely of any tree in that garden. Remember, what, after they'd sinned against God, you know what God did? He moved them out of the garden, put that cherub with the flaming, spinning sword so they couldn't go back in to eat them, lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever. They had a tree of life they could eat from and live forever, and they didn't. They probably had all kinds of trees in there and eating off all kinds of trees, but they ate the one they weren't supposed to. Isn't that something? And you know what? When Eve, look what Eve said. Turn to chapter 3 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. She didn't just add to it. She took away from it and changed it. She didn't say freely. You notice that? But it was freely. I mean, think about that. That just almost floors me. That they could eat of every tree. If they had ate of that tree of life, that tree of knowledge of good and evil wouldn't have any power over them. They'd been like Baptists, man. They'd had eternal security. Amen? But they didn't. Isn't that something? And then over here in Revelation, he says, I will give unto him that is athirst, in verse 6, of the fountain of water, of the water of life, freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So again, remember where we're coming from here. We're looking at church raptured out, chapter 4. We're looking at tribulation. We're looking at millennial reign. Now we're looking at new heaven, new earth, new beginning. And we're talking about overcomers. And look, it also talks in here about having the right to the tree of life. We don't need the tree of life. Church age saints don't need the tree of life, right? We already have life, and we have life in Christ. So it's obviously talking about somebody else there. Look at verse 8. This is interesting too to me. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Look at that list. Fearful and unbelieving and liars with the abominable murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. Isn't that something? People go, well, there's big sin and little sin. Well, God just lists a bunch of them. And man would say the lie was not near as bad as whoremongering or abominable sin or murder, right? Well, man wouldn't probably say that. They'd probably say lie and whoremonger are probably about the same now, but murder. People still think murder's bad because they don't want murder. Amen. But all those things in there, the first two things, though, fearful and unbelieving. people didn't trust Christ, they're unbelieving. Liars, people didn't trust Christ, are guilty in their lives. But the fearful, the fear of man bringeth a snare. We're supposed to fear God, not man. People that fear man to the point where they wouldn't trust God. You know, he talked about the religious leaders. They knew he was telling the truth, but they kept it to themselves. They believed, but they kept it to themselves. They're afraid they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. The fear of man bringeth a snare. What's a snare do? It catches you. Fight it, it chokes you out. So fear of man bringeth a snare. The fearful, those that fear because of their pride or whatever, or fear loss or fear whatever, and they won't trust Christ. Or they fear, I mean, the world talks about, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists and their excommunications and all this stuff. They do that. They excommunicate people that don't live the lie the way they want them to live it. But the world does that. Catholic Church big about that. Always has been. They're a little more ecumenical now, or a lot more ecumenical now, so they're probably not as big, but they're real big on excommunicating people that, you know, right now they just give them short-term punishments, like, was it Joe and Nancy can't have communion or something because of their abortion stance? But they used to boot people out, say, you're not, you know, they won't have anything to do with them until they get right, which means get wrong again. Amen. Matter of fact, that's a lot of people burn at the stake because they were Roman Catholics that got saved. And they wouldn't denounce the Catholic Church, and they wouldn't denounce Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven, and they wouldn't accept the Pope's word over the Bible, and they burned the stake. Amen. A lot of them. Some of them, they really didn't. They just wanted, it hurt them so bad that they turned against their lie, that they give them chance after chance, and they wouldn't do it, and they still didn't. We'll give you another day or so. If you haven't renounced your views and couple days, we'll come back and see you. There's a lot of martyrs. They went back seeing them, burn them at stake. So we're not doing it. Can you imagine that, having 3 or 4 days to think about it? They're going to come back and get me. What am I going to do, Lord? I'm saved. I believe I'm eternally secure. What am I going to do? Amen? Could you imagine worrying about that for 2 or 3 days? I don't think they even worried about it. I think they had a level of spirituality we could only dream of in this day and age. I mean, if they could hold their hands up like this and they're burning like fiery candles, and they can sing praises to God as their life dwindles away. And an old 2-year-old hands me a tract back, and I'm like, oh. Amen? You guys have had it too, right? Probably not a 2-year-old. That was just for me, special. But you guys have had it too. You felt guilty about, you know, oh, I bugged them. I hurt their feelings. Maybe I said something wrong. It's like, what, are they going to go into hell number 2? They were on their way to hell. Give them scripture. But the fear of man bringeth a snare. It'll stop you from doing what God's called you to do. It does us. Amen? If we're not careful. Probably has every one of us at one time or another. What will they think? What will they say? What will they do? What will happen to me? What about my checkbook? What about my, you know? But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came to me one of the 7 angels, which had the 7 vials full of the 7 last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and shewed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So we read down through here later on, maybe probably next week, Lord willing, and we'll see Jesus Christ as a light. But what an amazing thing going on here in Revelation. And all this, Revelation 20, all this horrible things going on, and then we got new heaven, a new earth, no more sea, New Jerusalem, God wiping away all tears, making all things new. I don't know. Is there anything here that would be worth taking to heaven? Nothing. Other than other souls, there's nothing worth taking. Amen? You could go to I'm going to get both just in case. I'm going to assume there ain't nobody that's really in love with Chrysler. Don, I apologize if you are. I don't know. I don't know your car preference that well. But if you go to Chrysler, or if you go to Ford, or you go to GM, and GM, Chrysler, and Ford, they all say, you can pick anything you want. It don't even have to be a production car. It could be something that we made three of, or one test car. That thing runs 400 miles an hour and doing eight blocks, and we only made one of them. You can have anything you want, and no man has driven it. You can start it up for the first time. You can drive that thing home. You can park it in your driveway. We'll pay the taxes, and we'll fuel it for the rest of your life. We'll do all the maintenance. You've never ever do anything. And that thing's got a lifetime warranty on everything. You don't have to touch it unless you want to drive it forever. And you drive that thing home, you park it in your driveway, and all your neighbors come over, and they look at that thing, and boy, they're slobbering over that thing. And boy, all their Maserati's junk now because you got it, right? It won't mean nothing at the end. And there ain't nothing in heaven that's even going to come close to that. Everything's going to be so far past that, so far beyond that, so far better than that. Anything that man could ever make. And when that new beginning, hey, the new beginning that God does is going to be perfect, without sin, without death, without pain. Praise God. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Get us out of here. Amen. Praise God. I feel sorry for people that don't believe this book. Lost or saved. Good night, man. That's exciting. Oh, man. Somebody's going to get a call tomorrow from GM. They're going to go, you won't believe the deal we've got for you. Amen. I just hope and pray that if the Lord says come up here there and GM calls at the same time, that you're willing to go. But, man, I'll tell you, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. The things that God created that man hasn't totally messed up, like the sky and the clouds and the stars and the trees and the, man, you sit by a brook that's running over them stones and listen to that water, and there's nothing man can do to imitate that. You can buy those machines, those white noise machines or whatever, listen to that, get your water fountain and put it in your house, or get koi fish out in your yard and do that. Ain't nothing like the way God does it. That water rippling over them rocks, the way God lays it out, can't replace it. And it's going to be even better there. Far better. Amen. Far better. Father, we sure love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the book of Revelation, Lord.